see you guys. We have a great, great day in store for you. We really, truly do. Today is the day that we're going to do some baptisms, as you can obviously see. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. There's a reason at Church on the Rock that we get excited about baptism. There's a purpose for it, by the way, and that's because it's an outward representation of what's taken place on the inside of people's lives. This is a picture of God's transforming power taking place in their lives. So today we get to celebrate with five different people this morning throughout our two services who are going to jump in the water of baptism this morning. At a little one of the little guys in our church came up to me this morning and he said, "Pastor Josh, do people get to wear their bathing, he called them soups, their bathing soups inside that jacuzzi?" And I said, "Well, yeah, man, they do. Some people are going to wear their bathing soups today." And he said, "Today?" And I said, "Yeah, today. Oh, man, I want to get in there." So he said, so I'm thinking maybe after the second service, we'll just let him take a swim. I don't know. Why not have a little pool party in the church? But I am excited. I cannot wait to celebrate that really with you guys as a family and just honor those that have made a declaration of their faith inside their heart, and now they get to make that declaration in front of their church family. So we're excited to come alongside them and go on a journey with them. Amen? Like, this is only the beginning. This is just a step along the way in the journey. But there is a lot of stuff going on today. Not only are we going to be celebrating some people's baptism, but we also are starting a brand new season, 21 days of prayer. This is something that we do at Church on the Rock twice a year, and we do this very, very intentionally. We always start our year in January with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We just like to start the year setting ourselves apart, making sure that we give God our first, and that we set ourselves up to receive what He would have for us in the year. Amen. And then every August, we follow that up with 21 days of prayer and feasting. Can I get an amen, everybody? Yeah. Not asking you to fast unless God would lead you to do that. But we do that intentionally because if you're like me, and really like most people, the summertime, sometimes we just will find ourselves in a little bit of a summer slump, if you will, because then we're off on vacation, our kids are out of school, and the schedule sort of changes, and you know what I'm saying? You kind of, if we're not careful, we can just sort of lose grip on some consistency spiritually. Most churches see, they either see a plateau in church attendance in the summer, or they see a decline, a little dip in the summer during church services or whatever. I'm happy to report we've grown all summer long, so thank you, amen. Thank you for being a part of that growth. That's really, really exciting. But we want to offer a few things to you, and one of the things that we want to offer to you is this prayer guide, because here's what I know. Inside this church is a lot of people on, they're just at different stages of this journey. Some of you guys have been saved a year, 6 months, some of you 10 years, some of you 20, 25, 30 years. So we're all on this different part of this journey. Some of us are more seasoned and have better understandings of certain things than others. And I just want you to know, like, that's perfectly okay. In fact, I love that. I hope our church always shows that demographic. I always want brand new young infant Christians in our church. Always. I just want people that are like, "I don't know, man, help me," you know? And then I want those people that are seasoned, that have been down the road a while in our church, that can pour into their lives. And then how many of you know that even a brand new young Christian can still help somebody who's been saved for years and years and years? I just buy into that. I think we can learn from everybody. One of my mentors, one of my closest mentors in my life, when I first sat him down, Walter West over at Anastasia Baptist Church, and I sat him down, I said, "Hey, can I take you out for some coffee or some lunch or just something? Can I talk with you?" And this is, we hadn't known each other too terribly long, and he said, "Yeah, definitely." And as busy as he is, it was quite an honor. And so when I sat him down, I said, "Hey, look, I just want to ask if you would be a voice in my life. I'm really looking for some fatherhood in a sense, and I need another pastor to just kind of cover me and look out for me, and I want you to be a voice in my life." And some of you have probably heard this story before. And Pastor West, he said, "I'll do it." He said, "But I'm going to do it on two conditions." And I'm like, "Okay, I will mow your grass or whatever you need. Like, I'm down, you know?" And he said, "Well, here's the first thing is you got to stop calling me Pastor West and start calling me Walter. Let's be friends." And I'm like, you know, I'm like from that, like I was military and then just sort of Southern old school raising, you know what I mean? So that respect thing, I'm like, all right, I can do it. I just wanted to honor him and his title and his position, you know. But okay, if you prefer me to call you Walter, I'll call you Walter. And so we're Walter and Josh now. And then he said, the second condition is this. He said, I'm perfectly willing to be a voice in your life only if you're willing to be a voice into mine. And that statement alone taught me so much, because I was staggered back, like, sure, like, what am I ever going to say to you? That's exactly how I felt. Like, what would I ever say to you? Like, you're way up down this road. Like, I'm asking you to help me. But just the statement that he made put such confidence in me to say, well, okay. And what he was describing to me was, man, let's be relational. Like, let's live in community and do life together. So I think in our church, I said all that to say that in our church, even the youngest, newest, freshest person who's brand new to the faith can still be a voice into all of our lives. There are things we can learn from them, and we should allow them to have a voice because we can learn and grow from them. Amen, everybody? Amen. So with that in mind, and just understanding that people are on a different place of this journey, we provide these prayer guides. They're very, very strong and healthy tools, because here's what I know. Some of you, you might be feeling like, Pastor, I don't even really know how to pray, right? And some of you might be feeling like that. In fact, the disciples once said to Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. I mean, these are the disciples, the guys that he chose to run with him in ministry. And they said, well, if you would, teach us to pray. That's in Matthew 6. And so he began to teach them, and that's where we get the Lord's Prayer. And we just wanted to kind of do the same thing and just give you some resource to help you. There's all different types of prayers in here that can guide you through a little bit of a prayer strategy, like lifestyle prayer, the Lord's Prayer. There's tabernacle prayer, warfare prayer. There's just full of different things. And I just want to offer this to you as a resource. So if you feel like you're one of those that says, I'm not sure that I understand all that much about prayer, we just want to give you some help. And these are free. They're going to be in the lobby on the table as you go. I want to ask you to take one if you want one. We're also giving out this cool thing that people, they really, really love them, these Pray First bracelets. How many of you guys got your Pray First bracelet on already? Yeah. These are our gift to you. We want everybody to have one today. We have plenty of them for you to take. And the reason that we wear these is because, just as a simple reminder, I make mine where it faces me. So when I look at it, it says, pray first. And it's just my little simple reminder to say, all right, well, I'm just going to make sure that in everything I do, I want to pray first. Because how many of you know that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we want to make sure that it's just a tool, just something that'll help you. You know what I mean? Some of you guys might find yourself thinking some wrong things. Maybe the backside's the bonus. But we just wanted to offer these just as a resource. We wanted to offer this as a resource. And then what I'm most excited about is for the first time ever, we're going to hold a prayer service all 21 days of prayer. So every morning, and you can see it right there inside your worship guide that you were given when you came in. But every morning, we're going to have the auditorium from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. We're going to have focused prayer targets that we're going to lift up every day. We're going to have some focused scripture that we're going to use for that prayer every single day. And we just want to offer those to you. So that's Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. To 8 a.m. We will be prompt and sharp. We will start on time and we will end on time. We're going to maintain, we already do a Wednesday night prayer service from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and we are going to maintain that same prayer time, and we're going to be prompt. We're going to start and end on time. Amen. So we'll honor that. And then for some of you that are like, oh man, I can't because of work or whatever, we're going to offer us a prayer time on Saturday morning as well from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So we just want to invite you to come. Anybody that's willing to come and participate would love to have you be a part of that prayer, and we're going to help you pray, and it'll make perfect sense. And especially if you're one of those that's young in the faith that says, well, I'm not sure what prayer really looks like, I really would encourage you, grab your prayer guide and come to one of those prayer services. And we will just, sometimes you learn by seeing. Sometimes you just learn that, hey, I've seen it. I've heard people praying. So now it helps me to go and to do the same. So we really just want to provide this as a resource for you. We want to be able to pray over you and cover you. And you're going to get prayed for, every one of you, during these 21 days. And you'll see. If you come and be a part of those services, you'll find our prayer focuses. And then our social media will be promoting those prayer focuses daily. So if you can't be connected with us in person, you can be connected through the World Wide Web. Amen, everybody? We're just going to put it out there on the line. A couple other things. I just want to move on for time. Throw my little stats up there for me. Check this out. Just At the end of the month in July 2016, our average Sunday morning attendance was 146 people, 147. And at the end of July in 2017, our average Sunday morning attendance is 276 people. That's pretty awesome. That's a growth of 87%. In fact, it's 87.755%, but who's counting? And that's a win. That's exciting. Because what that's showing is that, see that 276? That's not a number. Those are people. It's not about counting. It's about serving. And this is what God has entrusted to our church. And these are the people that come and say, I'm going to place my confidence in you to help me in this journey. So when we look at numbers like those and how God had seen our faithfulness, even just a year ago at 147, and then he said, because you've been faithful with those 147, I'm going to trust you with some more. And I want to give you some more people. And he increased us to a place of 276. And I'm excited about it. It's awesome. Throw my next slide up there because this one's the most fun. This year in 2017, we've had 15 people say yes to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Amen. 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 So what that means is there were 15 people at the start of 2017 that were on the road to destruction. They were on their way to hell, and something touched their heart inside of a service or inside of a small group or inside of a relationship from this church. And 15, and these are documented. They've turned in connection cards. These are not people that raise their hand. I can tell you every name of every person of those 15 who has made that decision that God has allowed us to carry from darkness into light. They represent that 276 first-time salvations in our church. We've had 43 people documented say, you know what, I've been off track and I've just kind of lost my way and I just need to kind of get back on course and documented to say, I'm just going to recommit my life to Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, like I've been there before. Amen. I've been there before. And I don't know that some of those 43 might be the same guy five times. That's okay. That's all right, man. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So we're excited about that. And then the baptism number, I'm going to be honest with you. We did a poor job of documenting baptisms. We know that 20 is probably a little bit of a conservative number, plus 5 today. So we're pretty excited about those. And since we found our error, I guarantee you next time I do a report like this, I'm going to know exactly how many it is to the number. But we know that we have been seeing people make some decisions for Jesus Christ and then make a public proclamation of that decision in water baptism. And it's awesome. It's awesome. So I know that like the atmosphere is really quiet and everybody's like, well, we're in the middle of a teaching, but I would just like to ask you, would you just join me? Would you just put your hands together? I want to hear a cheer. You can stand if you want to, but I just want to make sure that we give God all the credit and we give God all the glory for what he is doing in Church on the Ark. Would you join me? Would you just give God your best? Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. Yes, we love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 I just don't want us to take for granted what God is doing at Church on the Rock. Amen. I'm so honored to be a part of the move and what he is doing here. But I wanted to bring you a word, and it's going to be quick because I want to focus our attention on those that are making that life change proclamation today. But I want to bring you a word, and inside your worship guides there are some notes, and you'll see the scriptures. They'll all come up on the screen with you. But I want to read to you a scripture that I found that I feel like really applies to where we are as a church, and I just want to talk about that for a minute. But in Matthew chapter 17, we're going to read 5 verses of scripture, and the Bible says this. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And verse 2, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as a light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So let's just pause right there for a second and kind of explain the context of what's going on. That Jesus takes 3 guys. Peter, James, and John, he says, hey, I'm going to take you guys to a place. I love the fact that he brought a small group, amen, small groups, and some guys that he does life with, some relationship. He says, I want to take you to a place with me. And when he gets on top of this mountain, the Bible says that he's transfigured, meaning that he really, they saw him in his spiritual form. They saw him in his heavenly form. And on that mountain, something pretty amazing happened, that with Jesus, they see Moses, who had been dead for a long time, and Elijah, who had also been dead for a long time, standing there with him in their heavenly forms. And can you just imagine being the spectators of the conversation that's going on between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah? Because in the eyes of these men, these are some of the most marked and heroic and influential people in all of religion. These guys, like, oh my God, you know, and to be in that presence, it was pretty amazing. So let's move on. Verse 4, and then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, notice what he says, it is good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. And I applaud this, actually, because what Peter is understanding is something that I personally sometimes miss. And what he's understanding is that, hey, we should enjoy the moment that we're in, because this is pretty amazing. And he says to Jesus, man, it's good that we're here. This is really good. And that's what I want to do kind of throughout this month, is I just want to slow down long enough to say, God, it's so good that we're here. We're so thankful that you've given us this moment. We're so thankful that you've brought us through this journey and brought us to the place from where we were to where we are. So write this down with me if you're a note taker. I want you to notice there's only three things I want to point out in the context of this scripture. And the first thing that I want you to notice is that they had an encounter. You ever had an encounter? Has God ever just done something significant inside of your life? For some of you, it might have been, you know, 20 years ago. For some of the people that I talked to this week who are going to be getting into that pool over there in just a few moments, their stories were remarkable, remarkable. And to hear some of them talk about the encounter that they had and the way that God moved inside of their lives and just the unique ways that they found themselves here with us and this the way that God would move inside of them and to hear about the encounter, it is life-changing when we encounter God, isn't it? It's life-changing. In fact, I don't think you can truly touch the heart of God and it not be a life-changing thing for you. I noticed that Peter, James, and John, on top of this mountain, they had this incredible encounter. And then Peter, I think, had the wisdom to say, man, it's good that we're here. This is good. But then notice what he says next. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, or basically he's saying like three monuments. I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. And he says, listen to him. And here's what I want you to notice, that right after the encounter, and I think this typically happens in all of our lives, that right after the encounter, you can write this one down with me, number two, comes the energy. Like, ooh, man, I just felt God do something in me, and I'm energetic, and I'm excited about it, right? I know that right now for Janelle, she's fresh off a conference, I'm fresh off a conference, we've had some encounters, it's like, woo, what can I do? God, you're awesome, I got all the feels, goosebumps riding piggyback on top of my goosebumps, like, this is so nice, what can I do for you? Ever been there? What can I do for you? And I just want you to recognize that Peter, from the place of wisdom, to say, God, it's so good that we are here. I actually think, because how many of y'all know, Peter gets pounded on by preachers, doesn't he? He was a pretty rock solid guy, I just want you to know. And here's Peter, and he's saying, God, it's so good that we're here. And I think he truly captivated the moment and understood it. But here was his mistake, as he said, let's build some monuments, some shelters, and let's stay here. And then the voice of the Lord interrupts, like, oh, yep, your moment had passed, Peter. That was good. But I just want you to know that you can't stay here. And then he identifies something, that this is my son, Jesus. He is my son. And I've allowed you to see a part of him that no one else has ever seen before. And I've given you an encounter that no one else has ever had before. And you're right, Peter. It's very, very good that you're here, but I want to make sure that you understand something. This is my son, and I love my son, Now make sure, notice what God said, listen to him. The third thing that I want to point out to you is ears. Ears. The Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And here's my point, all right? Here's what I want to say to Church on the Rock this morning, that I want us to find the comfort, like Peter did, to pause every once in a while and celebrate those wins. I want to fist pump for everybody that is taking steps in this journey of faith. And I want to make sure that we're celebrating great leaders and that we applaud and celebrate dream teamers and that we embrace every new face and every guest and that we just become that church that, man, we are what we are, but man, we are going to enjoy moments and we are going to celebrate wins. But what I don't want to happen is that we become a church that says, this is so good, let's stay here. We just settled down right here because how many of you know there's a lot of churches out there, there's probably a lot of leaders out there that would be really content with what we have here. Like, oh man, you got a healthy church, got some good leaders, I'm doing pretty good, church is doing pretty good, let's build some shelters. Let's set up a few monuments, let's get pretty comfortable, and let's not take any more risks, let's just keep doing what we're doing. And I just want to be your pastor for a moment, and I just want to boldly say, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. This is good. And I'm so thankful to God for all that he's given. But the truth of the matter is that there's more people that need to say yes to Jesus Christ. There's more people that need to take steps in a journey of faith, and they need to say, man, you know what? I said yes, and now I'm going to tell the world. And there are more people that need to say, I need to know how to pray, and I need to know how to get into the presence of God, and I need to understand God's word a little more. So I'm going to need to make some investment, and I'm going to have to take some steps in a journey. And if we get too comfortable and say, we'll just build some shelters here, then we've missed God's heart, because it's verse 6, and it's not in your notes, and I would encourage you to go home and read it, but it's in verse 6 that the Bible tells us that after this, Jesus started walking down the mountain with those men. Now, Moses and Elijah are gone, but he's going down the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And I don't know, it's just me. I really kind of get into the stories of the Bible. And I just picture, I could just see Jesus with his arms over their shoulders and just going down the mountain. Was that cool or what? I mean, was that awesome? I know, man. I could just imagine that I think he was a real guy. I just think that he was a normal person. And I could just imagine him saying, that was pretty amazing, wasn't it? But hey, there's more. We can't stay on that mountain. And Peter, I understand your heart. And bro, I know what you mean because that was awesome. And I would love to have an encounter like that every day. But the truth is, it's down the mountain. There's more people that need to know who I am. I mean, I know that my Father just boldly told you who I am, and I know that he solidified my place for you, and I know that you've seen some great things, but our responsibility is we've got to go reach more people. We can't stay here. We can't be on the mountain. And I could just see Jesus, listen to me, with his small group. With the people that he's doing life with. Yeah, I'm plugging something. That's right. And the people that he's living in community with. These are my brothers. These are my friends. These are the ones that know me and I know them. And he's saying, but guys, listen, don't miss the point. I'm so glad that we've had encounters. And I hope that in the future there are more great encounters with the Father. But the truth is that we can't stay here. There's more to reach. In fact, Jesus said it in Mark 16:15. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to who? To everyone, everywhere. Church, I'm thrilled, honored, I'm excited that we can celebrate the things that we can celebrate. That I can look around the room and I can see Jamie Sellers' face and Charlie's and Derek's and Pastor Tom's. I see Dan and I see dream teamers and dream team leaders, and I look around and I just see people, and I can look throughout the crowd and I can find the faces of the people that are going to get into the waters of baptism. And I see the little kids that say, well, I want to get in the jacuzzi. And like, there's so much to celebrate. There's just so much to celebrate. But I want to remind you, and I hope the mission statement can be thrown on the screen. I just want to remind you of this, that this is Church on the Rock, that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they might become fully devoted followers of Christ. There's a very intentional purpose in those two that's a two-part, I guess that sentence, but in that two-part message, number one, we have a responsibility to reach people, to reach them, like in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces and, you know, all the places that we go, like the golf course and the woods, amen, people go there, amen, reach them there. We exist to reach them. With the message of Jesus, it's life-giving, it's life-changing, it's the hope that we found, but, that's not it for us, not for us. No. We want them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's the journey. So the target is, hey, we got to get them. We got to get them. I've got to become the witness. I've got to become, you have to become the witness. I've got to be the one that they see Jesus in when I take the trash cans out to the street in the cul-de-sac. I've got to be the neighbor that looks like Jesus and talks like Jesus and acts like Jesus. Come on now, I've got to be the one that's going to pioneer what he's called me to do so that they can see Jesus in me. And then once I've reached them, I don't want to leave them there because they just started. And see, somebody didn't leave me there. Somebody took a journey with me, and when I would do stupid things, I had somebody that loved me enough to say, hey man, you're doing stupid things. And I'm so glad that somebody would tell me the truth. And I've had cheerleaders that got around me and say, man, you're just doing awesome. Just keep going. And I'm so glad that people took a journey with me. And the truth is, I want us to take journeys with people. Like, we're not interested in counting you. We're interested in serving you. Amen. And we truly want to encounter, for you to encounter this love and this joy and this hope and this peace that we have found, because it is in fact life changing. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, all my people being baptized, you can go ahead and make your way. Go ahead and make your way and get ready. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. What about you? I mean, are you here this morning and maybe you wandered in, could be your first time that you've ever come to this church. Maybe you wandered in and maybe you were invited by a friend. I'm not sure exactly how you got here, but what about you? Have you made that decision for Jesus? Have you made that proclamation of faith for his son that he's well pleased in? If not, this is your moment of opportunity and I want to give you a chance. I want to give you a chance to say yes. I want to add to that number 15. I want to see that number increase, not because I want to report another number, but because I care about you as an individual. And I think that's why God called me here. It's because he cares about you as an individual. So if you're here this morning and that's you and you say yes, I need to say yes to Jesus Christ this morning. Count me in, Pastor, on that prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this auditorium, please. Every single one of you. If that's you, would you just be so bold as to lift your hand? I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not calling you to the front. I just want to see who you are. You just lift it long enough, high enough for me to see it. I know that there are people in this room, and you might be one of those 43 to say, you know what, I've just gotten off course a little bit. I know, God, I just have made some poor decisions, and I'm really not walking the way I should. I would love for you to count me into that prayer. And if that's you, would you just, can I see your hand? Can I just see you? Yeah, amen. Okay, good. You can put all those down. And we're going to say a prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask every voice in the whole house to say the prayer with me, because I want to create a level of comfort for those who are making some decisions today. And I just want to create that level of comfort. So if you'll repeat this after me, just say, Dear Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to make a decision for you today. Change me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Would you stand to your feet and put your hands together for those who have made... Come on now, we're giving God some praise for people that made some life-changing decisions this morning. Amen.